The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, it's Irish Racing Podcast time yet again, and it's Dundalk on this Wednesday, July the 12th. Yes, Dundalk, I hear you cry. Normally we're used to Dundalk on a Friday evening in the middle of winter, so we've got to get our head around looking at these horses on islands only or weather surface in the middle of the summer. And quite a few of these, of course, have been running to a reasonable standard on the flat turf as well. So we've got a bit of recent form to go on, plus a bit of back class from plenty of action here on the all weather to get our heads around. Lots of competitive races, you can see, all reasonable betting opportunities. Only one odds on shot throughout the card, and hopefully we can find a few winners with my nap coming in the final race. So hopefully we can stick around for that one. That should be worth waiting for. On to the first race then, which is a tricky looking claimer coming up at 2:15. I say tricky because there's about four or five in this race that can be fancied on their pick of their very best form, including Vocal Activity, is probably the most unexposed and most likely one of this lot to succeed here. I quite like the way that Jim Baldur's Charge ran two starts ago anyway at Listel behind Maritzburg in quite a decent maiden, and he backed that up with another good polished effort from a good draw at Fairy House last week. Now that race went the way of Palliative Vicini Run from the informed Johnny Levin stable, but the race has run at a real helter-skelter gallop. That was the fastest furlong per furlong time I got on the card, which is pretty useful considering we were dealing with fairly low grade horses. So anything that ran well in that certainly caught my attention, including Vocal Activity. But back in the field was Burn the Boats, and given that he rather missed a break and got dropped in from an outside draw in stall 12, I thought he did quite well in the end to finish fifth. And if you add it all up and you look at most of his performances, or his best performances, they've all taken place here at his beloved Dundalk. Indeed, in this kind of company, as you could see in March and April, he was successful in claiming company. He's got a good draw here tonight as well, much better than he got last week. And I do like David Stevenson as well, who rides him. I think he's one of the best apprentices, if not the best jockey over in Ireland. And he gets on quite well with this horse as well. You can forget his last probably couple of starts prior to that because he just isn't the same horse on turf. But going back to his beloved track over a distance, which is absolutely ideal for him, I certainly expect Burn the Boats to be in the frame at the very least. And at 4-5-1 this morning, he looks rock solid each way material in the opening race. On to race two then, which comes up at 2:50. And we've got two horses here of virtually similar calibre, trained by the O'Brien family. We've got Barca, rated 77, of course, is a colt by Warfront. And we've got another Warfront in the shape of Dillam, from the Joseph O'Brien stable, also has run to a fair standard on her two starts so far today. Probably they've almost ran in identical maidens. Barca ran behind New Terms at Fairy House, and Dillman ran okay behind Petticoat from the Mickey Halford stable. I just think that race at Leopardstown was a slightly stronger one than the one that Barca took part in a couple of weeks ago. So I'm going to go with Dillman here, based on the fact that the horses are in and around that race at Leopardstown have all gone on to run well subsequently. Petticoat finished fourth in a listed race. Bell Boy, the second from the McCreary stable, has won since. And several others further down the field have all come out and run quite well. Given that that horse's run was its first start of, in its career, and it now goes on a surface where, if you look at its breeding, it should be absolutely ideally suited to, then it all adds up for Dillman here to run a big race for the very much informed stable of Joseph O'Brien. On to race three then, which is the first of the handicaps today. It comes up at 3:25. An absolute minefield of a race, I must admit. I was trying to look beyond the obvious one here, Zippy, who comes in here in reasonably good order. But to be fair, I just could not find anything of any great solidity. Quite a few of these have got really shaky profiles, and even the ones with form on the turf haven't run here at Dundalk, such as Aidin's Pet, who I do think will run quite well. So in the end, I've had to just go with the boring selection of Zippy, who at least has run here at Dundalk on several occasions, which has got to be seen as a positive, but even though it's not to a very high standard. But you just have to look at that run at Tipperary last week and say, well, where did the improvement come from? It was a 16-1 shot. He had no real right to win that on that particular occasion, but did so in such easy fashion that he said there's ever a chance that she'll go in again. They had the hood on as well, hood off for the first time. I think that could have been one of the contributory factors why this horse ran well. Obviously, the headgear hadn't been working on the old weather previous to that. It had obviously been off the track for a while, had a bit of a break, freshened up. And given that Johnny Levens's horses also were in really good order as well, they have been for the last 2 or 3 weeks, it all really meant that it was a bit of a perfect storm for this filly by Hal Vellin. And given that, like I say, at least her confidence is high coming into this race, it'll be difficult to oppose her if she's in the same kind of form. So Zippy is the choice in race number 3. On to the 4 o'clock then. And the obvious standout candidate here is Brave Display from the Paddy Prendergast stable. He's been in fantastic form of late, including on the turf in his last 2 or 3 runs, which involved a good 30 of the day behind Little Clarinet at Leopardstown. He's also got some great form here at Dundalk. Indeed, his only career victory came here back in April when he was quite tenacious in the latter stages to see off Butter Boy and Ollie's Folly. Now, it's just a question whether this horse will get the trip. He stayed 6.5 furlongs well enough at Listowel, but whether he gets the extra furlong is obviously open to question. So is there an each-way alternative against him, I hear you cry? Well, we might just have one in the shape of Cracker Sweet. Now, to all intents and purposes, this horse has been massively disappointing since running an eye-catching race first time out behind the mighty Winter, of course, in a very good maiden towards the back end of last season, when so many horses out of that race won by, at the time, David Watchman's Charge, that you know, it's a very, very believable bit of form. But you look at this horse's career trajectory, it's gone down here rather than uphill. But have that said, there is a little bit of hope now going back to Dundalk and dropping back down to 7 furlongs that this horse might just be able to outrun its odds and expectations here. Not a bad effort the other day over a mile at Leopardstown when leading until the final 200 yards in the first time blinkers. Certainly suggests that dropping back to 7 furlongs should be ideal for this filly by Fastnet Rock. And given that the stable are certainly not giving up on this horse anyway, I'm not prepared to do so either. And around about 6-1 this morning, I'm just going to stick up Nutcracker Sweet as an each way poke against the jolly there. On to the 4:35 then, quite a trappy looking race here. Obviously, these sprinters can all show their very best form when on their best behaviour. And hopefully Go-Kart will do just that this afternoon, even though she, in the coal light day, isn't the most frequent of winners nowadays. But she still runs to a fair level, even when she doesn't get ahead in front. And as you can see by our form of late, stands up to the closest inspection here, including that run last time out in the mightily competitive Rockingham Stakes at the Curragh. A few days ago, she was drawn in stall one, which wasn't ideal, and she raced a little bit isolated down the middle of the track, but she kept on very willingly in the latter stages, so only get beat a length and 3/4 by the eventual winner Titness. And so many good horses that day were in behind her, so she certainly ran up to probably one of her best levels of form on turf. But she's also got a fantastic record here at Dundalk. Amazingly, she's run here 16 times, and only in 5 occasions she's been out the first 3, so we're likely to get another big run from Go-Kart. Also, she's drawn in stall 1 as well today, which, as we know here at this tight left-handed bend here at Dundalk, you certainly have to be close to the speed and cutting the corner to get a good position in the home straight. Certainly think Abstraction will run well. She ran well first time up down in Cork when Go-Kart was second, of course, behind it. Hit the Bid, and a reproduction of that form would certainly give Natalie Lupini's Charge a decent chance here. But I'm going to stick with Go-Kart. She's in good form, and hopefully returning to her best surface, she can go well there in the 4:35. On to the 5:10 then, which doesn't look a particularly strong maiden over a mile and a quarter, and it should really go, to all intents and purposes, in the direction of Diodorus from the Aidan O'Brien stable. Now, quite how this horse has got a rating of 95, God only knows, but I suppose the handicapper just got duped into that run last season when he was second behind Dubai Sands in a really weak listed race at Leopardstown. He hasn't run anywhere near that level in 2 subsequent maidens so far as a 3-year-old to suggest, like I say, he's never a 95 rated horse. But that said, that run last time out at Leopardstown certainly wasn't a bad one on paper anyway. He was behind Guel Graveyard, but more importantly, Clongarwes from the Jim Bolger stable, of course, has gone on to win 2 races subsequently, including the Cork Derby. The Ulster Derby, and indeed last time out at the Curragh in a very competitive handicap. So, you know, you've got to give Diodorus the benefit of the doubt there. He isn't the most straightforward of horses. He does carry his head a little bit high, but he should still be too good to beat this rather disappointing bunch of opponents. Right then, on to the best bet of the day. The standout horse in this race by an absolute country mile is Dodgy Bingo from the Noel Mead stable. Hopefully there's nothing dodgy about him here, because A, for a start off, he's up against a fairly weak lineup, and B, he's been in fantastic form since we last saw him on turf on the level when he ran to a fair level, but at the end of the day, he didn't shake up many trees. But you've got to just basically judge him on what kind of horse he is now. And he's obviously gone on to be a fairly useful juvenile hurdler in the middle of winter. He managed to finish fourth behind Mega Fortune in a decent race, Fairy House. Plus, if you look at his last two or three runs over hurdles, he's been up against some very high-class opponents. That good race down in Killarney the other day, when he was six in, was one of a very high standard run at an incredibly fast time. And indeed, his only career victory on the flat came here at Dundalk back in 2015, when he won a mile handicap off a mark of 75. So actually, he's dropped down £12, even though he's become a much better horse in recent times. He's drawn in stall one as well, so obviously Colin Keane could get a chance of hugging the inside rail. He should say the trip no problem, because he's been running over 2 miles over hurdle. So everything looks set there for Dodgy Bingo to go really well in the last race. And odds around about 2-1. I actually make him a lot shorter, really, to be honest. I'd have him more in the even money mark myself. Looks fairly good value to close off the card in the 5:40. Thanks very much for listening to this edition then of the Irish Racing Podcast. Do please tune in again tomorrow, when we're going to be taking a look at Leopardstown, a 7-race flat card beginning at 5:50. Until then, it's goodbye for me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.